Bei den Game Awards 2024 hat The Witcher 4 seinen ersten Trailer bekommen und meine Kollegin Leia, die Chefredakteurin von Mein MMO, war live vor Ort in Los Angeles, um sich die Show anzuschauen. Okay, da bin ich ein bisschen neidisch. Und danach mit Sebastian Kalemba, dem Game Director von The Witcher 4 und Malgorzata Mitrega, der Executive Producerin des Spiels, zu sprechen. Davon gibt's kein Video, aber eine Audioaufnahme mit spannenden Details und Einblicken. Das Ganze natürlich auf Englisch, weil unser Polnisch leider, verbesserungswürdig ist. In diesem Sinne, viel Spaß oder Bafir Dobsche.
Yeah. Well, Witcher 3 is almost 10 years ago, and yesterday was the day. And yes. What was going through your minds when you were watching the trailer on the show on the big screen? Like, what was the first thing that popped up?
For me? Oh my fucking god, it's happening. Really, yeah. That was literally what I was thinking. But we were so excited to come back and say The Witcher 4. And do it in public and to release the series as the protagonist and introduction of the world. But for me, the audience reacting in the moments we planned, that was, oh my God, they do it. But I was even holding the hand of someone that was next to me, actually, you know, with the thrill and legs shaking. And that's amazing experience. So, yeah.
Yeah. I was visualizing this moment for months. And then I realized that, like, after 2 minutes of watching it, I hold my breath, so I didn't breathe, and I was like listening. Yeah, and I was like listening people around, and kind of I was so happy that every moment that we decided, like, because we've been building the suspense, right?
Yeah.
And first, you know, Jeff was actually giving you this initial intro. And people were like already like talking. Then we started. You've seen the very first time, like the sword, and people started talking. And I was like, yes. Then, you know, Mioni, the girl, right, going for to the father. Then finally, Witcher, the guy, the villager,
and the sword.
So like, and finally, when Ciri turned back. And everyone finally seen that, yes, we're talking about Ciri here, and the whole room was super excited. Then I started breathing. Then I was like, yes, and I was recording everyone around, and I was super hyped. And then, so huge excitement. I'm super happy that we're making it, and super happy that we make the saga about Ciri.
Yeah, and I was also in the back of my head always thinking, because back in the studios, people were also, you know, in the blackest, it was the middle of the night in Warsaw and in the other cities they were in, and they were also, you know, watching with us. We were starting to share the relation, how it goes, our photos. Yeah. So you know, hundreds of people with us and all waiting for that, especially that this, of course, on the one hand, it's after, as you said, just almost 10 years coming back with the franchise, with the new installment, right? On the other, for us, for years of pre-production, because we just kicked production, and it also was a closure and opening. So for us, you know, that was
great. I cannot imagine better year closure.
Yeah,
It is simply the best closure I could possibly imagine, because, as Gosha mentioned, we entered production 2 weeks ago. Then we had finally been able to reveal Ciri to the entire world. And we ended up with great response, which is like, I cannot imagine better gift.
Yeah, about the response. I mean, if I would have been you, I would have been checking comments probably the whole time.
I've been checking comments all the time.
Yeah, we're not sleeping at all. Yeah.
I am also curious, like, was there something in between the comments that surprised you?
Actually not. Actually nothing surprised me that much. Maybe some comments that were like causing some laugh. I was laughing, like let's say the bathtub that people recognize, that they were like, oh yeah, you can tell it's a Witcher game because they start with the bathtub. And I was like, I was crying inside. Like, I was laughing so much.
I was surprised by how the community is working together within. So there are some, because there are some other voices, people have different opinions sometimes, which is fine. And this is obviously a great thing, but then they are talking with each other, right? Convincing one another. And it was really amazing. And the whole thing is really, really positive. And I guess because so many years pass and they are still, so, you know, there are so many people that are fans and reading that, it is like, oh my God, we're waiting for that. Oh my God. So this is a lot of emotion there, positive emotion. So it's, I don't feel there is a better fuel because we are doing them for them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we try to, for them.
So. Exactly. So when we were like trying to visualize the response, yeah, we've been thinking about all sort of perspectives, right? Some people like, some people dislike. But overall, I think, like as Gesha mentioned, like the response from seasoned players, like the players that remember Witcher 3, was also really great because many people felt the same what we felt like years ago when we made this call, because we made this call like 9 years ago, something like that. We decided then that, yeah, after Cyberpunk, as soon as we'll get back to the Witcher franchise, there is a moment for Ciri. We need to put the spotlight on her. We left Geralt in Tucson after Blood and Wine. We even made an anniversary video showcasing Geralt inviting his friends to mansion that he got from Henrietta. So there's no surprise, like no coincidence, no, like it was the call was made long time ago. And there are many reasons behind this. And we noticed that the players that remember Witcher Wild Hunt, they really respected that moment. Yeah. Like they really believe that, yeah, that's a natural choice for growth.
Yeah, it is actually a logical choice. I think so too.
Yeah. And of course it's also super challenging because that makes, you know, we don't want to make let's call it female Geralt. You know what I mean? It's a pretty fine character with her own personality. With her being at the beginning of her journey, and that makes the stakes higher, that makes the situation a bit more complex. And I love this challenge that comes from that choice, that will make this experience super super unique and
I mean, when she entered the series, or like in the Geralt saga, I will call it, she started as a child,
yeah,
and now she's a grown woman.
Exactly.
And she's not a child anymore.
So much trauma.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
exactly.
her whole story is just built from so much trauma.
And exactly.
I think a very interesting character then to explore. Like,
thank you so much for saying that.
Exactly what we thought, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly why the truth.
And she's a great character. Yeah.
Exactly. And thank you for saying that, because
as well, right?
Exactly, you nailed it. So much trauma. Young person, but also experienced. Really, you know, she was running away all her life almost, right?
Yeah.
And you cannot run away from all his life. At some point, you have to make a call.
Yeah.
You have to invest yourself this or another way. And go with it, and this is what Ciri is actually going to do in this game. So
I also have a question related to the trailer to that, because when the trailer opened, I really felt for the young woman, that she, you can just see it in her eyes. I think it's brilliantly done, like how scared she is.
Thank you.
I had goosebumps watching that, and also going to with the topic of a sacrifice, sacrificing a young woman. And I was really wondering, like, how this is connected to Ciri, because it is Ciri. So it must be something symbolic.
Perfect. Thank you.
I just want to say that I have
great question.
Goosebumps when you were saying that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the kind of a question. This is amazing.
Could you elaborate on that?
Absolutely.
Like, I would love to know, like, what is the symbolic after that?
Oh, yeah. Love the question.
And the dualism of the scene
itself.
Okay,
so let's geek out now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is exactly why we chose this particular story to make Ciri and her problem, the conflict in her, a bit like, you know, as a platform to tell her emotional state right now. Like, there is the moment that you feel that she needs to, like the Mjolnir, like the young girl, she has no room to confront destiny.
Yeah.
She is like followed, she is literally like servant to some superstitions, and she is kind of used by her father. Of course, he is, that's the drama here. Like, they are living in fear for so many years that they didn't develop any other tool to deal with this evil. On the other hand, you have Ciri, who, as we already said, was running away all her life, and she experienced that you can and you should take full responsibility over whatever you do. That it was, she was raised by wolves. She is here because she confronted the destiny, and there's a huge disagreement watching Mjolnir being so passively sent to the forest.
Yes.
And that makes her even more engaged because there is a huge no for this situation. But at the same time, she understands the drama and she knows that for sure, if she would decide to not let her in, then probably she would have to deal with these villagers because you know how the crowd reacts when it's driven by the fear. This is what actually combines them, right? That makes them like, so she was, as a professional being, as a professional monster slayer, she had to also use Mjolnir a little bit to lure the monster, right? To build this advantage. Because, so there's this moment when she grabs her shoulder, says, go home, right? She didn't want to risk her life. And there was a very good intention behind it, but definitely when she looked and when she heard the Jivan voice, she was also like, she is also a foster daughter of someone, right? Of Geralt in this case. She could really understand the chemistry, the situation that is dramatic and there's no good call. So she had to like go in between and do her best to be able to at least try to help her. In this case, sadly, we went to with this particular choice just to also show that that this world is really grim. There's always some consequences that you have to pay for things, but also was another lesson for Ciri. Yeah, I did my best. But I cannot control the world around me the way I want, the way I wished for. And so it's very symbolic. And also another symbolic thing is like as soon as she enters the forest, she hears the sounds, these voices, right? And so Baug is playing with her own fears, with her inner monsters. And that was also digging under her, trying to let her go out or run away or not go into this, not investing herself that well into the story. So she had to break through also. Yeah. So also very important moment for her and also show her personality very well.
I read up on the Baug, like what this monster is about and mythology-wise, yeah. And it's feeding on fears.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was also wondering where the decision came from, like what you wanted to show off with exactly. The Baug, because at one point you must have been there, it's which are we need to have a monster here, of course, but which one? And I think it's such a crucial choice for a trailer like that. So
very crucial. We definitely wanted to choose the complex monster. We didn't want to have just the primal monster. We wanted to use the intelligent monster, very powerful one, because that the Baug is super powerful, but in a way to use it also as a segue to sell some emotional container, mm-hmm. right? Like this inner monsters, right? Because when you look at all the saga before, right? We were like showcasing all sort of monsters. Yeah. Striga was a monster. Then the human being was a monster. Then, you know, like people in this world sometimes are more monstrous than monsters. Mm-hmm. And that makes this world super grim and super grounded. And they love that particular factor in this world, right? And here, because she's young, she's still proving herself. She's kind of trying to prove in front of everyone that yeah, she worth it. She made a good call to become a Witcher.
I think that even she wants to prove it to herself.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess the monster that is, you know, playing with your minds and feeds on your fears and goes with her. So this, like, is it enough? It's not enough. I'm still not enough with that. So, and then the monsters itself as a creature, then the monsters in the village as people, and then the monster that she has in her heart still.
Yeah.
And the path is long. So that was chose to make it cohesive and experience and show as much as possible with the first just a trailer, but to show all the layers and all the aspects that we want to push forward in the game itself and explore much more. Yeah.
That makes so much sense, because in her young life, everyone wanted a piece of her.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And now she's like, now she is the one that making the calls, even though she's not controlling everybody in that world. She's just pissed off that it doesn't work as she wanted, right?
Yeah.
But she's still pushing for that, right?
And in the end, you know, like, there's all sorts of emotions, right? Like, you have, again, like, you have compassion, you have disappointment, you have anger, you have like...
There is a moment of fear, I even feel. Yeah, there is this small moment of not letting go, you know, I don't make it, but more like a bit of fear, because it's this one.
I mean, I also looked like pictures of the Bauk, and I think your design is really one of the nastiest around, like really.
Yes.
Because you have some that are also looking a little bit cutesy, even like a bear or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that one has like the pointy sharp teeth and human-like face. Like she looks like a hack almost.
It's like a goblin-like Baba Yaga kind of a thing.
Also like the spider-like body with the arms and the hairs and so. I love that personally a lot. I'm into really nasty creatures. But why so nasty?
Okay, so he is even designed in a way that we are able to fold him in a way that he looks like a babushka. Mm-hmm. He looks like a he can like hide his limbs, and so when you look at him in a foggy area and you just play with the silhouette, he looks. Potentially, he can fold himself that much, and because he's able to mimic any voice, any voice, so you can hear in a forest a voice of lost kid or babushka looking for, and you're like, and this is the way how he lures you, and you know, he plays with your mind, and actually, you know, it seems that, you know, at some point he can unfold you, and he's a huge creature, he's super agile, he's able to, you know, like
this, so smart,
like and like his spider web is this fog, so you know, as much fog you have, the more control over the place he has. So this is how he's really overpowered in his own environment. As soon as you know, you realize that you actually fight with the creature and you kind of confront the fears, then you know that, okay, that's the creature, and that's the moment when he's becoming simply a bit weaker. So he needs to, like, in the trailer we can experience that firstly he plays with your mind and he wants to take you to the fog and eat you, but then, you know, he lost the limbs, you know, and he's like angrier. And fun fact is that what is really losing him is his own fear. Because at some point he's completely losing control of himself.
Yeah.
So he's just angry, attacking you, and anger
he's
comes
from... He's doing it blindly, actually, at the end. I mean, in mind blindly.
From the psychological point of view, the anger comes from fear.
Yeah.
So imagine that, you know, you kind of defeats him with his own weapon.
Yeah, and that also counters Ciri again, because she is also just so angry at the moment.
And I think that is what's great, is the Bauk, especially, like, in a strong force, so in the place it takes place, in a village, because it's an isolated one, it's actually, I would not say easy, but they were following this ritual so long that this monster is also kind of, maybe not lazy, but used to that there is no someone going against and doing that that much, that often, right? And there is someone that, what the hell, it's changed the whole physics. So he is at some point like, what the hell? Yeah, you can hear him scared and reacting really in the panic mode, rather, whatever I can do. So this is really cool. And then at the end, the fog is gone. So you can see at the last shots that there is no fog, but probably people in the village, it will take them some time to get it.
For sure, like in the back of your head, you can imagine that the way they're going to live for now, they will still, because they are like so blindly following the tradition that comes from, you know, superstitions, they will for sure wait for the fog.
Yeah.
But the fog will never get back. So imagine that, you know, for years, you don't know how much, like decades maybe, the generation will have to die to
kind of realize, right? Yeah, and stop to do it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So mm. that's the whole, like, you know, cycle of life in this particular place in this world.
Yeah.
And she knows it, right?
Yeah, but so it's going to break it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you already say a little bit more about the philosophy behind the monster designs now for Witcher 4? I mean, it's really early right now, mm-hmm. but I'm all about the monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you already said it, like, it's a really grim world, but I think games like The Witcher only work well if you also have light moments and
yes.
light-hearted moments,
oh
funny
my God.
Moments
yes.
even. And I'm a big fan also of derpy monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can we expect something? Can you tease something?
I don't think we can tell
literally tease, I guess, no.
Literally tease,
but
no. But maybe some principles. Maybe some principles. For sure, it's one of the principles that we really pay a lot of attention to is that we don't want to make you feel that there is any monster in this world that is out of the context.
Mm-hmm.
So these monsters live in this particular habitat because of reason. So this way, you as a monster hunter, if you, let's say, invest yourself into game, and let's say you invested 10 hours, 15 hours, at some point, the world around you will actually teach you to recognize things around you, hear things, see things, to make you, player, feel as a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to stop, reflect, prepare, and encounter something that you, as a player, kind of can anticipate. So that's the overall rule we are really following when it comes to it. The second thing is this. The second thing maybe like when you geek out, you know,
go.
The second thing we want to make these monsters really organic,
mm-hmm.
really, like, you know, you see Baok, you know, his saliva,
yeah.
hair, you know, he's super like fleshy,
yeah, awesome.
Yeah, like this is it. That's the rule we are kind of praising for. Like, we want to make the most organic monsters you can imagine, that are part of this world, and they potentially can even use the environment that they're living in as their own advantage also, right? So, like, you have a spider and you have a web, you know that the fly, it's not this habitat. As soon as the fly hits the web, then it's gone, right? And this is this unique primal thing that comes with every being. And this is what we really want to cultivate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I just want to, because you just jump into it, right? So they all are there with the context.
Yeah.
But you ask, so there also will be a variety of them, yeah? So there will be, like, let's say, Baok scale alike. So there are a huge monster hunt and with more like psychological aspect, but there will be more, what you just said, because, you know, it needs to be a different experience. So we are preparing a lot of, I think, interesting creatures that you can encounter. And but also when you mentioned, like, so it always connected with the story around the new regions that it falls, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's also for us, monsters are a way of storytelling, yeah, and you for encounter the world and immerse into that, so it are coherent, yeah. So.
Yeah.
There are all sort of monsters in this world. They're primal monsters that are like really like white sharks. They're not don't think much. You have complex monsters, but very chaotic, let's say, and evil. But you have also monstrous people or curses.
Yeah, I just want to say the curse and stuff. So also the why they are monsters is also
so super
depending.
Like complex.
So still,
complex.
You know,
yeah.
We are all we always do is to raise the bar we already set up for ourselves. So we push it forward. Right?
Yeah, so that's
with that as well.
I think a really good example for this is actually the Botchling.
Mm-hmm.
Because that one is like creepy as fuck, but also funny as fuck.
Yeah,
like it's
yeah.
one of the funniest quests in
Witcher
3.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
We need something like that in court. I need something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. No, it's like,
yeah, yeah.
Take a note.
Yeah,
something
Botchling
like that
great.
Is really important.
Botchling is great. Yeah, that's true.
No,
that's true.
I'm looking out for something like that.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
It's amazing. So, thank you so much for this question.
Yeah.
But the monsters aren't.
Well, yeah, yeah, so, monsters are. Yeah.
I mean, serious philosophy yeah. is also cool. Like, I like to talk about that as well.
But
the monsters come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I actually also have one for Siri. And that is, I saw online some concerns that she might be actually too powerful with her elder blood and training she received from Yennefer and Geralt and so on. And as a player, you want to build up, like, it's all about the looting and leveling and getting stronger, but she starts on a very powerful point. And I get the concerns also, like, gameplay-wise. What would you say to those concerned players?
I cannot tell you more right now. Very valid concerns. What I can promise is definitely we have an answer for it. Yeah. Because definitely we don't want to let you to start the game with the OP character. But we have a very cool or kind of a grounded answer for this.
Yeah. Story that is supporting to that. Sure.
Definitely something that is very, I would say, organic to what we experience in Witcher 3, but also for the new player that haven't experienced that, they feel that, yeah, wow, there is so much room for building my character up.
And it was, of course, a part of the consideration when we were starting to think about
the
game. Yeah?
It was one of the first things we solved.
Yeah. Yes,
but it was
important.
Yeah, it's very important. We had to solve that. And the way, actually, generally the way we make games, like, we make games through asking ourselves so many questions and looking for answers. This is what we do. And what I love about CD Projekt Red, it's actually, like, I can even use an example from the Cyberpunk, mm-hmm. right? You have a technology, how to make it look like a technology, not like a magic. So sometimes it required months of thinking how the Sandevistan can work from the biochemistry level, how it deals with your hormones to make you super fast. Instead of making a Marvel-like game. No, because it's driven by tech. So here we have magic, here we have potions, but still, magic in this world, it's not coming from, like, somewhere. Magic in this world is grounded. That means it's like a combination of art, science, and your capabilities as your being.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, I love this quote from Ursula Le Guin from RFC when she says that, you know, like, I really like it because it resonates with The Witcher a lot, that the energy in this world is always equal. Like, there's always something zero, right? So when you light up the candle, it will also cast the shadow.
Mm.
Right,
and it comes with a cost.
And this is what I love. So it always costs you, and there's this kind of feel makes the magic grounded. It's not just a magic, right? It's not a
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But it's
maybe a last question to sum it up somehow.
Last question. What do you think about the Humongous Gwent 2 DLC? Like, where they just go into a tournament and play Gwent 2?
Oh no!
It's just an idea that I have. Like, you just have a DLC where it's nothing else but just playing for hours Gwent 2 in a big tournament. What would series strategy be?
That's interesting.
That was not a question.
It's not a question.
Yeah,
it's more like
it's another,
like,
note.
Yeah.
I have many notes for you.
Yeah. That's interesting.
That's,
we definitely, you know.
Yeah.
What I can tell, I don't think I should say that.
I mean, Gwent was great, right?
Yes.
We
love Gwent. Yes.
We all love Gwent. Yes. That's a good one.
Yes.
We will get the DLC. No, it's fine. Okay. I think I got
everything.
Really good answers.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for that.